Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You all right? How are you doing on this fine morning? It is the 7th of January, 2026. It's cold morning this morning in Britain. It's really cold. That's part of the news cycle today, actually, that there's a full-blown snowstorm moving in. Blizzards and things all over the place. But we'll get to that when we get into the news. In fact, let's just dive straight into it. You all right, Harry? How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm good. It's a good day.
Good, good. Yeah, it was freezing, actually, this morning. It was really icy. Walking in, I was, like, slipping, nearly slipped over, like, three or four times. It's really icy. So, I guess the roads are a bit treacherous. Okay, let's just dive straight in. So, today, the biggest headlines seem to be boots on the ground and one for the road.
One more for the road.
Oh, blue eyes there. My impression of blue eyes. I've got kind of greeny eyes, haven't I? Not... be nice if they're a bit bluer. Anyways, boots on the ground. That's talking about, the French and the British talking about how we might put boots on the ground in Ukraine if and when a peace deal is signed. We'll get into that when we get to it. And one more for the road is reference to new laws that are coming in about drink driving in the UK. Lowering it so you can have even less drinks before you're... you know, before it's a problem with the police that you're a drink driver. Are you like one pint? They're saying like one pint is too much. Because nowadays, right, you can still have one pint. Or even is it a pint and a half? Or, you know, you can have a bit of drink, basically, can't you? And still drive and it not be illegal. But they're lowering that so it's like almost nothing. Yeah, there's some reports are saying that like one beer would put you over the limit. But, okay, let's get into it. On the BBC website, which doesn't do the papers in the same order every morning, but one thing I'll say is we do talk about the BBC here on Breakfast with Beau, the Beau Show, Beau's Breakfast Club, and thank you for joining me as well. You are the chosen few. but obviously hate the BBC, absolutely hate the BBC, but it is sort of, as we are looking at the mainstream media, essentially, aren't we? We're looking at the corporate mainstream media and what they're saying. So do you still use the BBC, although I would like to see them defunded and like cease to be a thing entirely. Let's just make that clear. All right, so the IR paper says, boots on the ground, UK military bases in Ukraine to keep peace. So my first thoughts and feelings on that. When I first saw this morning, I thought, oh no, I really hate that. I don't want that. And that's true. I do hate that. I don't want that. But when you look into the details of it, it's not quite as big or important as it first seems. You think boots on the ground. Oh, we're going to put like, you know, multiple regiments over there, like Iraq, like Basra, like we did in Afghanistan and Basra, and have loads and loads of military people there for years and years on end. It doesn't look like that's the sort of thing they're talking about. One, it's only if and when a peace deal is done, and Putin doesn't, at the moment anyway, doesn't look like he's interested in any sort of peace deal. And two, again, when you actually read about some of the details, it seems like it's just a general peacekeeping effort, much like something the UN would do, i.e. relatively few men, or really quite few men, and... they are there to sort of, it's like a token gesture sort of a thing. It's not like loads and loads of combat troops there firing guns all the time. You know, like what we had in Afghanistan, in Helmand, like there was actual firefights sort of all the time, you know, and these, like a military hub, you know, we'd have like a strong point, a strong house that we had to keep, and it would always go under attack and stuff. I was told to read super chats as we go along if we can. So first one came in saying, in honour of Scott Adams, Razor Coffee Brothers. That was from Justering Green 8572. Yeah, I believe that Scott Adams meme chap is dying. So yeah, Razor Coffee Brothers. yeah, so the Ukraine peace deal. Still, even though it's not as bad as it first seems. I still don't like it. It's not our fight. I'm not interested in Ukraine or Russia. I don't want to fight for or against Ukraine or Russia. I don't feel like it's Britain's fight in any way, shape or form. There's loads of other details about it as well, that we're going to keep giving them endless money, essentially. Going to keep supplying them, Ukraine, with hardware. Like, almost endlessly, sort of, basically. Don't like any of that. I don't want any of that. I've sort of got a fairly hard line against staying out of it entirely, if possible. Some people view that, where I've said things like this on the main Lotus Eaters podcast a whole bunch of times, some people, for some reason, interpret it that as though I'm pro-Putin. I'm not pro-Putin. I'm not at all. I'm very, very anti both of them. I think Zelensky and his government is one of the most corrupt governments in the world. I mean, it just is. That's a matter of fact. That's a matter of record, that is. And Putin is a stone-cold killer. He just murders journalists all the time, amongst loads of other egregious and horrible things he has done and does all the time. So I'm no Putin fan. I don't want anything to do with any of it. It's gross. I've got the same position on Israel-Palestine. Just like, ugh, get away from me. Get off of me. It's nothing to do with me. Get lost. I'm an Englishman. What the hell has this got to do with Albion? And our interests. Nothing. Ugh. Does Keir Starmer do anything that's in our interest or that the majority of British people want? Has he done anything? Pardon me. Has he done anything? When he's... Honestly, I can't think of one thing where it's like the British public would really like to see. Like a populist thing. Just one thing. No, everything he does, pretty much everything his government has done, the average Brit is like aghast at, more or less. Just like, you've made abortions almost up to birth legal out of nowhere. Oh, no one was asking for that. You're trying to reverse Brexit. No one asked for that. Oh, you ID cards. Yeah, no one was asking for that. No one wants that. Oh, you're going to put troops on the ground in Ukraine. No one's asking for that. You know? Are you going to sell off the Chagos Islands? Why? Where did that come from? No one's been lobbying for that. There's no movement for that. I mean, it's just on and on and on, isn't it? Okay. The eye paper. The Times. What's the Times going with? Oh, look, we've got a Trump dance. We've got a classic Trump dance. There we go. What does it say? UK agrees to boots on the ground in Ukraine. Okay, same story. There you go. Trump wants to take over Greenland in next 3 years. There's all talk this morning that, some papers, some editors seem to be going with the more sensationalist angle that Trump is looking at and thinking about a military incursion, a military invasion of Greenland. But a lot of them, probably a few more than half, are saying, no, Trump wants to buy Greenland. Trump wants to buy it. It sounds a bit odd, doesn't it, if you're not used to that idea, or if you haven't heard that idea before. But that's totally a thing that has happened in the past. Big, big chunks of land. I mean, the United States bought Alaska off of Russia, didn't they? It's in the 19th century, was it? They just bought it. If one country, if you can agree a deal, that's a possible thing. Makes a bit of a mockery of the idea that it's sort of like its own national self-determination or whatever. But, I mean, if Trump could agree a deal with Denmark to just buy Greenland, I mean, I do think that if he just did a military invasion of Greenland, as small as that would be, I do feel like that I couldn't justify that. I couldn't really get behind that in any way. As I said yesterday, you know, Greenland haven't done anything wrong. There's no aggression coming from them. So to take it in a military way, that would seem bad to me. It's simply not cricket, old boy. You know. That wouldn't be cool. So if he buys it, I mean, what can you do? What can you say? You know, if Denmark agree, then it's sort of, that is what it is. All right, let's go on. The Guardian. The Guardian. UK and France seal coalition deal to send the troops to post-war Ukraine. So that does seem one of the, it is one of the main stories in the British news this morning. I saw the, I saw the press conference with Sir Keir talking on that. And he seemed like pretty ecstatic, pretty happy with himself that he'd made this deal. It's just unpopular. Pardon me, still got a frog in my throat this morning, I do apologise. It's just unpopular, right? I can't imagine there's many Brits that will be, like, cheering that on. We'll be happy about that. Oh, yeah, that's what we really want. We want a deployment, however small, of British troops in Ukraine on a basically a permanent or semi-permanent basis. No one wants that. Okay. European leaders rally to support Greenland. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. We can win back voters, number 10 tells ministers. Yeah, right. Okay. The Independent. That's a funny picture of Trump, isn't it? They love getting it. He looks particularly orange there. I don't want to just dunk on Trump for no reason, because I'm a little bit of a Trump fan. I mean, the stuff he's done on Epstein is diabolical. And one or two other things he's done I'm not a fan of. Like how he hasn't deported that many people in the scheme of things. He has deported quite a few people, but in the scheme of things, compared to his promises, what someone like Steve Bannon would have liked to have seen, he hasn't really done it. Beyond that, he's done loads of things that are really based and a million times better than what Joe Biden would have done or Camel Toe Harris would have done. I'm kind of pro-Trump, but not massively pro-Trump. That's my position. they've got him looking quite orange there. I don't know if he had a very recent top-up of orange on that one, but it's a funny picture anyway. Apparently he was apparently he was mocking Macron. There's a front page later where it says he was aping Macron. I haven't actually seen the clip myself, but that would be quite funny. Britain signs deal to deploy troops inside Ukraine. Starmer and Macron agreed to create military hubs within Kiev's territory in the event of ceasefire with Russia, adding to pressure on Putin to agree to end a four-year war. Doesn't really put much more pressure on Putin, does it, really? I don't really know how that makes sense. Oh, couple more super chats came in. CWYE, I don't know how that's pronounced, or if it is just CWYE, says, I'm balding at 21. If only I could have your head. There you go. If you are going bald, you do need like an okay-shaped head, like the back of your head, if it's not too flat or too rugby ball sticking out. It helps to have an okay-shaped skull if you are going bald. I was going bald super young. Came to terms with it super young. Like, I remember when I was like 16 or 17, I realised that the top of my hair was thinning, like quite badly thinning. By the time I was like 18, 20, the hairline had started to recede. Yeah, just start having really short hair. That would be my advice. Get a really short haircut and get used to having really short hair. And then at some point when you're comfortable with it and the rest of the world knows you as someone that has very, very short hair, then have a skinhead one time. Like have a number 2 skinhead or something. And then one day, bone it off completely. And get used to it. That's what I would say to anyone. Any man that's struggling with baldness. Just learn to come to terms with it. Don't worry about hair transplants or wigs or any of that. Just lean into it. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Most women don't particularly care. Okay, if that's what your worry is. That's been my experience. All right, The Independent. Oh, I've done that one, The Independent. All right, The Sun. Oh, no, there's another super chat. Principled Uncertainty says, Trump indirectly cost the right the elections in Canada. Yeah, sort of. Kind of felt like that, didn't it? Australia and possibly Romania. I know less about that, but okay. Now he is uniting the EU. Cheers, mate. Super based. He's a twat. Hmm. Okay, I mean, I see the angle you're saying there, but I mean, and I get it, I suppose, but he's trying to do what's best for the United States, isn't he? I don't think he cares that much about Australia and Romania. He's going to do what he's going to do. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying this, that is what it is. Yeah, okay. Manchester Mudlark said, I can already tell this is going to be my new favourite breakfast show. Yeah. This is a breath of fresh air with serious topics and a very relaxed delivery. Cheers, cheers. Andre T23 says, good morning from Canada. Principal's uncertainty is right. Sucks because it's involuntary, but the establishments... but the establishments in those respective countries used TDS to scare people. Trump derangement syndrome to scare people. Yeah, that's also true, isn't it? Trump derangement syndrome. I know people in real life that have got Trump derangement syndrome. It's weird. It's mad. It's like, if Trump does something you don't like, you genuinely don't like, you know, like the Epstein, how he handles the Epstein thing, say so. If he does something that's sort of obviously good, say so. But you don't have to be like this. You don't, both ways. You don't have to be like this mad, mindless, pro-MAGA, pro-Trump guy. And you don't have to be a TDS victim. Just be honest with yourself. And if he does something you like, say so. And you get it. You get it. Okay. All right. The Sun. The Venerable Sun. Oh, they're going with the drink driving thing. One for the road. That's their headline. Drink drive limit could be cut to a pint. New blow for struggling pub industry. Yeah, some have said, I think Nigel said, but some people are saying that this it like will really, really hurt particularly rural pubs where people will go like, drive to a rural pub, have a drink or two drinks, and then drive home again legally. That this will put an end to that and it will screw with rural pubs. May well be right. I don't know exactly, but that may well be the case, yeah. They definitely, the powers that be, definitely want to, as we touched on this yesterday, didn't we? Definitely want to screw with pubs. Definitely want to try and prevent people from drinking as much as possible. Or congregating in groups and talking openly, getting a bit tipsy and talking openly. They seem like they really, really hate that as a concept. So, yeah, the Sun goes with the drink driving. The Torygraph, the Daily Telegraph. That's a funny picture of Trump again, isn't it? Drink drive changes to kill off rural pubs. That's the angle they're going with. Badenoch, the leader of His Majesty's Royal Opposition, Nigerian lady, Kemi Badenoch, says, police chief must resign over Maccabi Tel Aviv fan ban. And so this is a little bit in the news today. I believe the police chief appeared before a select committee yesterday, was it? Where, if anyone remembers what happened, there was an Israeli team came to Birmingham to play football in the one of the European championships. It couldn't have been Champions League, would it? It'd be one of the lesser European UEFA Cup or something. They came to Birmingham to play a game, and Birmingham is a Muslim city, basically, isn't it? Big chunks of it. I mean, demographically, it's Muslim. And then lots of their council are Muslim councillors and stuff. And somehow they put enough pressure on the police to sort of just prevent the Maccabi Tel Aviv fans, who, as I understand, are very poorly behaved fans. But nonetheless, lots of teams have very poorly behaved fans. Point is that it's suggested that, you know, what Muslims want, the Muslim values, i.e. hate, really, really hate Jews and anyone from Israel, that got to, that just dictated what the police did. And that's not great, is it? I mean, that's a very, very slippery slope. That's sort of terrible. And Lotus Eaters, we covered it at the time, I'm pretty sure we did. And on State of Politics, we did. State of Politics. And so it's just... Kemi Badenoch now saying that the police chief himself, who isn't a Muslim, I believe, if I remember, I saw him, he's a white dude, calling for him to be removed or resign. There you go. That's that story. The Daily Mirror. The Mirror. Revolution on our roads. Oh, God, look, there's a picture of Heidi Alexander MP. Disgusting woman. She's also the MP for right here, South Swindon. She's our MP. I met her in person once. She's really, really gross. Really gross human being on every level. Politically, physically, morally. She's everything. She's like the rainbow flag, the endless migration. Never, ever talk about any crimes that migrants do. Like, ever. Never, ever mention it. She's the pits. She's the absolute worst. She's I was going to say, look back at her career if you're interested. You shouldn't be interested. No one's interested. It's crazy she's even in government at all. Complete car crash of a woman. But she's the transport secretary. So she's in charge of essentially all the railways, but also like roads and things. And also, so like if there's change to drink driving rules, that will be under her purview. So yeah, they're saying they're basically making the argument that it will be safer, which isn't mad, is it? I mean, I'm not saying that's wrong. It'll be safer if you basically can't drink at all, more or less, and drive. And also, remember yesterday, eye tests for the over 70s. And I think there's more as well. There's like new laws about seatbelts have to be even safer in some senses. Oh, yeah. Radical overhaul of car laws in bid to cut crashes and save lives. I mean, again, it's reasonable. I'm not sure how I feel about that. On one level, I'm like, good, if it saves innocent people or kids or whatever from dying in car crashes, good. What's wrong with that? What possible argument is there for that? And then there's the other sort of more libertarian sort of idea, thinking of, no, why should the state tell me to what I can or can't do? You know, the idea of, I guess it gets the idea of, should the government tell you to wear a seatbelt at all? You know, it's an interesting debate. Should it be up to you if you really don't want to wear a seatbelt? Like, should the government force you to? And then you die in a car crash. That's on you then, isn't it? I don't know, it's an interesting question, an interesting topic. Or then you go to crash helmets. What if someone says, they ride a motorbike. I don't want to wear a crash helmet. Well, you know, if they die, it's on them then, isn't it? But isn't it, it's in their best interest too? I suppose deep down, my gut says the government shouldn't tell people these things. But there you go. Well, because it's a slippery slope, because you end up with more and more and more and more. You end up with some Heidi Alexander, a nanny state, like pearl-clutching mum of a minister, saying, you can't do this, you can't do this, this you can't do, this you can't do, this you can't do, this you can't do, and on and on and on and on. Isn't it? That's the worry, it's a slippery slope. Anyway, all right. Oh, more super chats have come in. What have we got? There's so many. Got to scroll up. So many. How about this? There are actually loads. Do you think I should read them all, Harry? Am I supposed to read them all? Okay. All right. 70 says, morning all. Hope we're having a beautiful morning. Thank you. Thank you. Bo's Breakfast Club. The Bo Show. Okay. Andre T23 says, it's zero alcohol in Romania and it's the most alcoholic country in Europe. People are totally fine with it. Oh, well, fair enough. If that's true, if that's how it plays out, fair enough then. People get used to the idea that it's, you can't drink basically at all, so you just have to make other plans. Well, then maybe it's fine. Although, are there many like car crashes where someone's had one beer though, or two beers? That are like the majority of fatal alcohol-induced car crashes from people that are just below the limit, because the limit's already quite low. But anyway, it's an interesting point in Romania if that's the case. I didn't know Romania, I don't know if that's true, if it is true, that Romania is the most alcoholic country in Europe. I'm not sure if that's true. I'm betting the Irish have got a shout for that one. No, I don't know. I don't know about that. The Irish revel in the fact that they're big drinkers. All the Irishmen I've ever met love the caricature that they drink massively. Okay. Skibbity G says, prevent people from talking in pubs. Yeah, that's sort of what it is, it feels like, doesn't it? Just like, they don't like it. They don't like people congregating together and like loose tongues talking about things. They're discontents in the pub. They hate it. They hate it. Well, Ed Dutton did an interesting thing read an interesting thing from Professor Ed Dutton, friend of the show, recently, talking about just a much more general sort of meta point, how all leftists and socialists, like really broadly speaking, hate it. Hate drinking for all sorts of different reasons. But it boils down to, on a couple of different levels, that they don't want people to have fun. They don't like fun. You're supposed to be... Well, anyway, Ed Dutton put it really well. I can't remember all the arguments, but it was sort of that. Zachary Misk 6220 says, what is the British position on Alberta's independence movement? Oh, I don't know. We never talk about Alberta's independence movement. It's not really a thing in our discourse particularly. If you're asking me right now, Alberta in Canada, I take it. Like, doesn't Quebec always want to break away as well? I don't know. I'd have to look at the details of it. With that sort of thing, it's probably not a great idea to just have an off-the-cuff, I think this about it, when you don't really know much about it. For what I'm thinking this. When you look at, like, Basque separatism in Spain, you really, really should, I think, really should drill down into the history, the deep history, centuries worth of history in that before you form an opinion. Same with, like, Northern Ireland, say, the Northern Ireland story. If you just have an off-the-cuff, knee-jerk gut reaction to that, it could well be a terrible take and you find out more about it and change your mind. So I'm going to do that. I'm gonna Tim Pool this one and sit right on the middle of the fence. I don't know enough about Alberta's independence movement, Zachary. Sorry to say, but that's the real answer. That really is my real feeling. Okay, Mr. Gently Benevolent says, Bo is the best spice, Carl. Yeah, king of the spice, Carls. When someone first called the Lotus Eaters spice, Carls, I thought that was hilarious. So much so that I've described myself on Twitter once or twice as king of the spice girls or whatever. I don't know why. I just think it's funny. CWE again says, pubs are central to cultural revival and fixing society. Yeah, the state attacks them at all opportunities. It is a secular church for the Englishman today. It does feel like that, doesn't it? It really does feel like that. Aristotelitolion says, are West Ham going down, Bo? Oh, they got smashed the other day, didn't they, by the worst team in the league. I hope West Ham don't go down. God, my whole life, it seems. Pretty much, well, the whole of my life that I can remember, West Ham they're a bit of a yo-yo team. They've been good the last few years, like the last 10, 15 years haven't been too bad. But a lot of my life, West Ham have gone up and down, got relegated and promoted. And thing is, to be perfectly honest, I don't care about football anywhere near as much as I used to. Anywhere near as much. Something died in me in my late 20s, I guess, maybe early 30s. Something changed. I was like... It wasn't even an exact moment. It wasn't like an epiphany or anything. But just at some point, I was like, do I care about football, really? Like West Ham, like I'll get all upset and actually be in a bad mood if they lose. Really? Do I really care? I think it was some big English tournaments. Well, there's one big English tournament. It's the one where Michael Owen's last big England tournament where he busted his knee. And I was like so gung-ho for it, so ready and happy. And Michael Owen just buckled his knee and it sort of ruined our goal-scoring ability and we got dumped out of that tournament. And I was really gutted. And I was like, oh no, I had such high hopes for this one. And I think around that point, I had some sort of introspection. And I was like, why do I care so much? Why do I actually let it really genuinely affect my emotional well-being? And at some point around then, I just sort of let it go. I just let football go a bit. Anyway, I hope West Ham don't go down. Okay. FM Dawn Browning, which is that Field Marshal Dawn Browning? Field Marshal. Just gives $10, 10 Aussie dollars. Thank you, Dawn Browning. Jeremy McDude says, I would feel safer on the motorway driving a race car with all the gear in the event of a crash than I do in a regular car. With all the gear in the event. Okay. Not on slick tyres, I hope. Okay. Interesting point. And then Jacob Wolf 6288 doesn't say anything and just gives $10. So thank you very much for that. All right, back to the papers. Let us know in the comments if you're not what you thought about that interlude, whether that was interesting interaction or annoying to you or what. Whether reading super chats in the middle of things is. Anyway, more's coming. Jacob Wolf 6288 again says, love the show. Good morning, Britain. Every nation should look out for their own interests. If America can garner a complete dominance of our hemisphere, I recommend Britain join Anglosphere. Like, go Anglosphere. I mean, yeah, broadly, I agree with that, broadly. I mean, I'm half American myself, right? My dad is American. He was born and raised in Oregon. And only came over to Britain in the 70s. I've got loads of family in the United States, so I'm sort of half American. So I'm sort of, I'm sort of inclined towards being friends and allies with the United States more than some Brits, I think. If there was sort of the greater Anglosphere, like all the Aussies and stuff, yeah, if we can all pull together in one giant thing, that'd be great. I'd love that. Reverend Norse says, from your old history bro vids with Carl about the ancient Greeks to now, such a journey as a viewer and even more so far for you, I imagine. Fight on, Bo. Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, I've got my own channel called History Bro. And my big break on all of this was teaming up with Carl's. I've been riding on his coattails ever since. So I had my own tiny little channel, History Bro. Tiny little. I had like 200 subs or something. And I met Carl in London. Literally, he was doing a speech in Whitehall. And I was working in Victoria, right by Whitehall. And I'd somehow seen on the internet that it was going to happen. I was like, oh, I'll go down. Because I was a fan of Sargon, right? I'll go down there, see Sargon speak. I didn't even have any intention to try and speak to him personally or anything. I was just like, oh, Sargon's going to be speaking like 200 yards away. I'll go down there. So I went down there. And then he did his, like, it was only like a 5-minute speech reading off his phone. And then he was standing in like a little VIP area behind the thing. But there was only like a little guardrail. And I just went, oh, Carl. And he was like, oh, all right. And he walked over and I was like, hi, Carl, pleased to meet you, sort of thing. This is ages ago. This is like 6 years ago or something, is it? Something like more, maybe. 6-7 years ago. And then at that point, I was like, he probably gets this from everyone. He probably gets this from absolutely everyone. I said, I've got a little channel, history-themed channel. Would you mind, would you ever consider coming on StreamYards or whatever, StreamLabs or whatever it is, StreamYard, and like talking to me, having a conversation about history. And I could sort of see on his face, he was like, maybe sort of thing. And then I said, I'd like to have a conversation about Thucydides. Now, anyone who doesn't know, Thucydides is one of the greatest ancient Greek historians. Talk about the Peloponnesian War, that fantastic war between Sparta and Athens with Alcibiades and all that sort of thing. And when I said the word Thucydides, Carl, his face lit up. He was suddenly like, yeah, yeah, I'll do that. I've been wanting to speak to someone about Thucydides for ages. I just somehow hit a nerve. I didn't even realise I was going to. I really didn't know I was going to. But it was exactly what it seemed Carl wanted to hear. And the rest is history. We did that. That's still on my channel now to this day. Like 2 hour plus long conversation with Carl about the Peloponnesian War and Thucydides. And then we made a few more videos. There's like a long form Alexander thing, like 5 hours about Alexander, 5 hours about Pyrrhus of Epirus, a few other things. The Xenophon's Anabasis. And then Carl started Lotus Eaters. And I said, do you want... Because I hated my job. I was working in the city. I've done it for many, many years. Hated it. And I said, do you want like a history buff dude? Do you want like a resident history nerd? And he was like, yes, done. You're in. I was like, oh, all right. Oh, I'll quit my job. I'll move to Swindon then. And now we're here. Okay, that was a long aside. Oh, God, we've gone past. Okay, if I read all the super chats, though, there's just a whole thing will be that. My producer Harry's just nodding, just saying, yeah, do that then. Okay, I'll have to get back to the headlines at some point, though. Where were we? The hemispheres. Okay. Reverend Norse says, we've done that one. Jeremy McDude says, speaking of the History Channel, I really loved the freemium on Operation Nimrod. Those kinds of military operation history things are always cool to listen to. Yeah, thank you very much. The last Epochs, that is my history show on lotuseaters.com, behind the paywall, though. Do sign up, as little as £5 a month, bronze tier membership. we're trying to sort out the camera things. We'll get used to it. It's teething problems. We'll get used to that. We've got to work together. The last Sunday's one was nearly 2 hours of me talking all about Operation Nimrod. Anyone who doesn't know, is that's when the SAS broke the Iranian embassy siege in the middle of London in 1980. Brilliant story. Brilliant story. Have you ever seen that clip on the balcony where the SAS put a shaped charge on the wall? John McAleese, and it blows up, and then the SAS go in. Cool story. Yes, cool story. So thanks, Jeremy McDude. Yeah, I thought it was actually among one of my better ones ever. And we got a Rumble rant here from Bone Apple Tea Party. Says, not spice coals, but hoose coals. It's a reference to, obviously, like the Anglo-Saxon house coals, hoose coals, however you pronounce that. You know, the men that protected Harold, King Harold. Yeah, that is cooler. That is a lot cooler than spice coals. I'd rather be a house coal than a spice coal. But all right, okay. So before any more come in, let's get back to the papers. The Mirror. The radical overchange of driving stuff. The Daily Mail. Police blunder to defy belief. Oh, their blunder defies belief. It's funny how headlines often not grammatically correct, are they? So this is a story where it says, family spent 3 weeks grieving after being wrongly told teenage son had died in car crash, while second family were told their son survived when he was actually dead. So yeah, this is a story in the British news today. It's a crazy one. Earlier in December, like mid-December, all right, December the 13th or something or other, there was this car crash, really bad, sad car crash. Three young people in the car, two boys and a girl, and they're all like 17, 18 years old sort of thing. And two of them died in that car crash, and one lived. The girl died, one of the boys died, and one of them lived. And the police, like, wrongly identified which one had died and which one lived, and told the wrong family. And it only came to light. The police only realised their mistake a couple of days ago. And they've only just and on the 4th of January or something, they found out that they'd got it wrong, and they told the families. And now it's in the news. Okay. But a few questions for me. obviously, how can the police make such an error? But the other thing is, how did neither of the families? Because the other kid that didn't die, he's still in hospital, like terribly injured, and I think even like under sedation or was in a coma or something or other. How did neither family realise? Well, didn't they identify the body of the dead one? Did the family of the kid that didn't die go and visit him in hospital yet? How is that? Anyway, that's a story. That's one of the stories in the news cycle in Britain today. The Financial Times. Venezuela's oil output faces collapse as US naval blockade chokes exports. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought there'd be a giant amount of exports at this juncture anyway. Because of what's happened. But if the US Navy is fully blockading it, fully blockading the coast, I wonder what that will do to oil prices. Because your gut reaction is that, oh, well, that will make the oil price go down. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Traders and market makers are a bit more savvy than that. They might calculate something else, that there will then be a surge later, or it will make demand go up in some way. Okay, but that's what the Financial Times is saying, that the collapse of US naval blockade chokes exports. There's a picture there of a gunman on the streets of Caracas. That's another one of the stories in the news at the moment, is that, and I don't know really, because I'm not there, obviously, I don't know really to what extent this is true, but some of the stories out of Caracas are saying that far-left gunmen are taking control of the streets of Caracas, and that like actual military posts are being abandoned by actual military personnel. And so that new leader, that Delcy Rodriguez and or Hegseth, might have to take things into their own hands if that, you know, gets out of control, because nobody wants a bloodbath, do we? The Metro, perhaps the worst of the worst, the Metro. I think it's worse than The Guardian. Anyway, what have they gone with today? What slop have they gone with today? Grocky Horror Show. It's obviously a pun on Rocky Horror Show, isn't it? Grocky Horror Show. And the story is that evil Mr. Musk's evil AI, Grok, has done AI deepfake images of people in bikinis and things. It's happened. I've already had it done to me. Dan Tubbs had it done to him. Carl must have had it done to him. That's the nature of having your real face out there. People are going to shop you in things. I get quite a lot of shops made of me. Most of them are cool, but some of them are really not cool. Some of them are like... I personally think even the embarrassing ones are funny. But anyway, people have done it to a couple of government ministers, and they've got no sense of humour. They've got no sense of humour. And so it's evil. Musk himself is to blame. Come on. And the Metro thinks that's front page news, and that Grocky Horror Show is a funny headline. Absolutely nonsense. I hate the Metro. Screw the Metro. I'd love to see the Metro collapse and die and no longer be a thing in the world. Love to see that. Okay, Daily Star. What have they gone with? Classic Daily Star. Jezza's pal on Snow Patrol. Caleb's True Grit. So that's the guy. What's his name? Caleb Cooper, who's on Jeremy Clarkson's farm, that show. I haven't actually watched much of that. I watched a little bit of it and liked it, but I haven't watched tons of it. I should do. I just haven't really got the time. But anyway, like the Caleb dude on that. He's got his tractor out and he's gritting the roads because, as I said, there's like loads of snow and ice at the moment and there's going to be loads more. So Caleb's on the scene, sorting it out. And that's front page news, according to the Daily Star. The Express. Britain to be hit by major snowstorm blast. Right, so it looks like a big thing. In Britain, we've got a reputation for not handling severe weather very well. But there's a certain point when it is really bad, though, right? We've got this reputation, we joke amongst ourselves, don't we, that there's some leaves on the line. There's like a few, it's autumn, and a few leaves have fallen on the train track, and therefore all the trains come to a halt. Or there's a tiny bit of rain and half the country's flooded and everyone panics. But the thing is, sometimes we do have really bad flooding, genuinely bad flooding. Or there's a little bit of snow, there's a tiny sprinkling, a tiny bit of castor powder, less than 1 mil of castor powder of snow, and everyone panics and all the schools close and we can't deal with it. Well, but the thing is, sometimes there are actual really bad snowstorms, like really bad ones, especially in Scotland, right? It's properly bad. Like whole communities are cut off from the rest of the world, sort of thing. That does happen, though. So, and it looks like, what they're saying, if you believe it, is that this storm that's about to hit today or tonight or something could be a genuinely bad one. I mean, I talk about that. I'm sure there's people here, well, there definitely are people here, aren't there, listening from places like Canada where even like a foot of snow or 2 foot of snow is no biggie. That's like par for the course. That's normal. And to them, we would seem like just like whinging poms. Need to sort ourselves out and grow a pair. But nonetheless, it looks like there is going to be... Well, it was freezing outside. It really was this morning. And like really icy. I really nearly slipped over a few times. So, all right. All right, that's the front pages. Let's quickly have a quick look at some of the actual websites. A couple more super chats. What gives a whole new meaning to... Oh, yeah. Andre T23 says, "Welp, that gives a whole new meaning to Thucydides' trap. Budumts." Ha ha. He actually typed budumts. Basher Gang says, "Would you ever have Graham Moore from the English Constitution Party Society on your collab with him and spread the word about the English Constitution and our history?" No, I wouldn't. No. I'll tell you why. Because I had a conversation with Graham Moore once. And liked it, liked the guy, really liked the guy. That's why I agreed to go on there and talk to him. In fact, that was a conversation I had with him where I joked about the Scots. I was talking about Edward I, Longshanks, and how he, Edward I, Longshanks, said about the Scots that he'd beaten them. I can't remember exactly what bit of it was, but he'd beaten the Scots in something, or he'd got a treaty that was really advantageous for England and really bad for Scotland, something like that. Or one of his rivals in Scotland had died or something or other. And he said something along the lines of, and I paraphrase, a man does a good job, has done a good job that day when he flushes a turd, something like that. I can't remember the exact quote. And I said something along the lines of, the Scottish National Party are like a turd that won't flush or something. And Hope Not Hate decided that I was talking about all of Scotland, all Scottish people. Deliberately, completely took it out of context. And some people still do to this day, thinking that I was like, wanted to flush away all Scottish people. That's not what I was saying. Obviously not. Anyway. The Daily Record put me on the front page. If you remember the first Bow Show, I had that newspaper, did the eyebrow thing with the newspaper. The Daily Record, a Scottish newspaper, put me on a socialist rag, a socialist slop rag, put me on the front page of their paper, gloating that I'd been deselected from Reform because of it, because of Hope Not Hate. But Graham Moore. So I said that on the Graham Moore Show. And was friends with Graham Moore, liked Graham Moore, liked the guy. What, they call him Daddy Dragon or something? Big Papa Dragon or something or other they call him, I can't remember now. And then this one day on Twitter, he just completely attacks me out of nowhere, basically, calling me a moron and an idiot and something. I had some take on something or other, I can't even remember what it was. And he went full-blown berserk at me, going, "Oh, I thought better of you." I can't remember what the actual thing was, but... Oh, that was it. It was the Manchester airport thing where the cop boots that guy in the face. And I was just like, yeah, I was like fanboying that. Yeah, boot him in the face. I don't care. It's good. And Graham Moore went mad at me a bit, like going, "You're an idiot. You're like..." I don't know if he called me a Nazi, but I think he might have done. He went right off the rails at me. So I just blocked him and that's it. And I'm not going to speak to him again. So that's Graham Moore. But I will say that what he fights for is noble and good. I won't deny that. On that level, well done, Graham. In fact, let's have a rapprochement, Graham. Let's have a rapprochement. I'll unblock you. I'll unblock you this morning, and we'll DM. Why not? If you're prepared to talk to me. I did block him first, I think, but it was because he was going mad at me. I don't know. Anyway, Anyway, move on. We'll move on from that. Caesar, someone else said, what is it? Jacob Wolf 6288 says, Caesar or Napoleon, who's the more impressive despite the ultimate downfall? Oh, well, Caesar. It's pretty clear to me. Napoleon's mid and later career is not that impressive. The campaigns of 1814 are really impressive. But the point is, Napoleon lost a fair bit. Napoleon did lose battles a fair bit. He made some massive strategic errors. The whole Peninsular War is like a Vietnam strategic error. Going in, like the 1812 campaign, going into Russia, strategic error. Caesar didn't really make any, really. Like the odd little hiccup here or there, but Caesar was a greater strategist and tactician, I would say. A greater commander in the field. Yeah, Napoleon was Wellington called him a mere pounder, didn't he, at Waterloo. So I go for Caesar over Napoleon. Anyway, Holden 4567 says, I don't know if it's a typo. I guess it's a typo, but I think they're trying to say, would you get MMA Guru on He's Based? I don't know who MMA Guru is, but I'm a big fan of MMA. I love MMA. I've been watching MMA since UFC 1, since Royce Gracie. So, yeah, since Oleg Taktarov. Anyone remember these names? Blast from the past? Nobody? Anybody? Ken Shamrock? No? Okay. Okay, that's all the Super Chats for tonight. Let's quickly do some more of this before more Super Chats come in. US discussing options to acquire Greenland, including use of military force, White House says. So, the White House is saying we could use force or we could buy it. I think... this might age badly, this take might age terribly badly, but I think it's much more likely, isn't it, that they're going to buy it. Okay, time is running so out that I'm going to move straight on to American things instead. So the Washington Post goes with, Maduro raid killed about 75 in Venezuela, US officials assess. Yesterday they were saying it was more like, I saw one report said 32. Now they're saying it's more like 75. One interesting note that came out is that a lot of them were Cubans, like the security guys directly around Maduro protecting his person in the last instance were Cubans, which is interesting, like the Cuban connection. The New York Times says Stephen Miller offers a strong man's view of the world. The New York Slimes. The Los Angeles Slimes says US begins its battle in court with Maduro. Okay. Trump threatens to launch attacks on five nations. Who's this? Earlier 911 calls, I nearly said 9/11 there. Earlier 911 calls to Rob Reiner's home could be key in legal battle over son's mental condition. Oh yeah, so Rob Reiner and his wife were murdered by their own son, wasn't it? You remember that? Crazy story that. I mean, I kind of hated Rob Reiner the man, but loved loads of his work and his films. Loads of them. The Princess Bride, you know, Spinal Tap, wasn't it? And A Few Good Men. Loads of other things. His performance in Wolf of Wall Street was pretty damn good, wasn't it? And it seems like his mentally ill son murdered his own mum and dad. Terrible. Who knows what really happened that evening in the Reiner home. Japan. Japan to check if China's latest dual-use export ban covers rare earths. This is a thing that's going to dominate the future in some ways, isn't it? Rare earths. Who controls the rare earth minerals of the world? As the name suggests, they're quite rare. You know, it's not just like copper or iron ore. There's only a few spots in the world. A lot of it's in Central Asia. I remember seeing a map not too long ago. A lot of it's in like the Stans, you know, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, all those Central Asia sort of places, if I recall. I think there's quite a lot in Ukraine and Russia, but anyway, whoever controls them, there may well be future wars over, really entirely over access to that. All right, the Xinhua network goes with Chinese ROK leaders hold talks on bilateral ties in international affairs. Okay. Eyes on Hainan, that's a province in China. China's first commercial spaceport completes 10 successful launches. See, the Chinese always, their website is always just bigging up the Chinese in every possible way. So it's interesting, isn't it, to see the difference, the way the BBC try and dunk on Britain and the British government at every possible opportunity, it seems, right? The New York Times and the Washington Post dunk on America, dunk on the American government all the time. It's like it's their raison d'etre, it's their reason for being. They'll manufacture things in order to dunk on their own government or whatever. The Chinese, they're like, nearly every story is how brilliant they are, a new brilliant thing China has achieved or going to achieve. There you go. What's this one? What news website is this? I can't see. Oh, it's the Indian one. Not accessible. I don't care. I'm going to stop using the Indian one. Nobody cares about Indian things unless you're in India or an Indian expat. Like, I don't know about any of their things. I don't care about it. Right, okay. TASS or TASS. I still don't know how people pronounce that. One of the main Russian news agencies says Macron voices his plans to hold conversation with Putin as soon as possible. Macron's not going to be in government for much longer. Like, what is it, a year, couple of years at best, if he can cling on that long? Macron's not going to be the leader of France for a great deal longer. I guarantee you that. Bild, the German outlet, they go with dead whale lies on the bow of a ship. And then there's a picture of it. Sad. That's horrible. I like whales, unless it's an orca whale. I don't like orca whales, killer whales. I'm fascinated by the story of Antarctic exploration, both Captain Scott, Captain Oates, all that, and Shackleton, all that. And orca whales are absolutely insane killers. The way they kill penguins and then flip the body around for fun, the way a cat plays with a dead mouse or something. Orcas are like stone cold killers. Like, they look cute and they seem cute, I suppose, but they're actually like sadistic murderers. They're like psychopaths. It's like a chimp. You might be a fan of chimps. You think they're cool. Oh, it'd be cool to play around with a chimp. No, it'll rip both your arms out and gouge your eyes out. They're psychos. Anyway, it was a Trump apes Macron. There you go. I knew I saw it somewhere. Trump apes Macron. We won't play the video. You can check that out in your own time. All right then. What else? And finally then, it will be finally for today. We're very nearly at the top of the hour. Le Monde, Le Frogs. What were the French saying about today? They are going with, after the Crans Montana tragedy, that's a Swiss ski resort where loads of people burnt to death. Residents express anger and shame. I did see one report that the owner of that bar may not have done his due diligence, or he had a slightly shady background or something. I don't know if any of that's true, but I did see a headline somewhere saying that. Deep freeze grips Europe, killing six and disrupting travel. There you go. So it's not just England that we're in the middle of a deep freeze. And it does seem like a relatively bad one. It's not just like moaning about a tiny bit of snow. It is actually, you know, fairly severe weather conditions. All right, let's see if we've got any, just to finish out any more. There are one or two more super chats. Let's see. Basher Gang says, Graham has a real hatred of police British state brutality dating back to the Peterloo massacre. And we talk about Graham Moore again. Does he? All right. Asher Lee, 97, says, release the bow bikini pics or unsubscribe. As long as it's a tasteful bikini. Pixel Rick 9978 says, fancy getting a season ticket next season in the Championship and then two hammers, talking about West Ham. I haven't got time. If I had endless money and time, I'd get a season ticket at West Ham. Oh, and still lived in London. If I still lived in London, had endless time and money, I would get a season ticket, I think, and go to a few away games, go to half a dozen away games a year, maybe. But I haven't got any of those things. I haven't got endless time, money, and I don't live in London, so I'm afraid I won't be getting a season ticket. All right, it is just gone 9 a.m. A little bit different today. We're still working it out. Isn't it still teething problems, Harry? We're still working stuff out. We'll try and get our camera game down. And see whether there was too many super chats there, but I'm supposed to read them out. We'll have to talk about that. All right, well, until tomorrow, remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Do try and make it count. You know, carpe diem, seize the day, if you can. I know it's not possible every single day, but you haven't got an endless amount. There are finite amount of days in your life, so do try and make it count if you can. So until tomorrow morning, take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.